Hi guys, how you doing? Honestly, I feel there's really no need to preach today. I think we heard the gospel, and that's what we expect when we come together. We expect that our hearts would come in the singleness and unity and understanding of God, and that we would rejoice in it together and encourage one another in the things that God has called us to. I was listening to those songs. Every one of those songs that was sung was impacting. It was just declaring what the Lord has done in us. And I was thinking, we were singing that Stronger in Stronger, Your Name is Higher. You're singing Your Name is Higher, right? Your name is higher, not me is higher. And I was thinking, we have to know in our hearts that His name is higher than our circumstance. Yeah. His name is higher than all these things. And Mark brings a story of his brother. I mean, his literal brother. This is his DNA brother he was talking about. Not just the brother in the Lord. You know, it was like this is his brother, flesh and blood. And talks about how God is higher. Higher. His name is higher. It's over those circumstances. And I was moved by these words that just change us. We're still talking on Bridge Builders for the Kingdom. And we're talking about a new season that we're in. We're talking about the things that we're moving into. And this part of this has been this Bridge Builders and as an insight to it. And I don't know if you get the sense that I get, but there are bridges being built here. There are bridges that didn't exist before that are being connected. Lines are being drawn and understanding's coming, and it's God is opening up. When Paul was praying for the Ephesians, he said, I pray for the wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right? This has nothing to do with where I was going to start, because I was so moved. It's never going to happen, right? But the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there's an unfolding in that. There's an unfolding of the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And God's wisdom is how we function and walk in that. I'm going to have Ken play just a short clip that you guys will laugh at. But together. Okay, that's enough, Ken. That's a clip from the movie... And Susan just reminded me about it this morning, the bridge on the River Kwai. It was a story of POWs in a camp in, I'm not sure, it wasn't Japan. What island was it? What island? Yeah. So anyway, Burma. Yeah, Burma. Okay, so they were prisoners from a British and American prisoners that were in a Japanese POW camp, and oppression was going on. And they were tasked with building this bridge. And the bridge caused great anxiety amongst the POWs, because they're saying, we shouldn't do this, we're being forced, and it's for their war effort and stuff like that. And the other guys say, yeah, but we haven't lost sight of the war effort. We're going to do this because this is who we are. We walk as men of honor. We hold our hands up high. We can do this. And all that debate goes on. I'm really kind of synopsizing the story. Internal battle. But what I think they kept sight on was there was a greater war effort going on. And although it looked like they were building for an enemy, although things didn't look the way they were, although our circumstances don't seem, and it looks like, my goodness, you know, like these things are no good, that I, you know, 18 years I spent in a wilderness, and yet there was something else going on. We have to understand there's a war effort going on, and we're part of something that is greater than that. We have to believe our God is greater than that, that His name is above those things, that He is the Lord of our lives, and that if we in earnestness in our hearts serve and follow after God, His purposes will ultimately be fulfilled. I mean, like in the end of that story, the bridge is blown up and there's, you know, the victory and all those things, but they didn't lose sight of the war effort, and it drove them on into things and areas that was killing them, that was killing them as thinking, as cerebral thinkers saying, look, what are we doing? Also physically. And yet they said, no, I will stick too, because there's a war effort going on and there's a purpose and we will win this. And it was part of what they did. And I think we have to, with all the songs that we sang today, with all those things that we've looked at, we have to look at our circumstances and say, look, I am in the Lord's hands. My God is good. He's a good God. He's a good God. And if God is a good God, He has purposes. And what He's called us to, we weren't called to have stuff and things and live in comfort. We were called as prisoners of Christ. To be bound to Him. To be bound to the purposes that He had. And fulfill the things that He has called us to. So that no matter whatever circumstance we're in, we know that our God is good and His purposes are being fulfilled in salvation. And hearts are being opened and changed. And that there's lives that are going to be changed because we don't understand the spiritual thing. We see there's length, there's width, there's height, there's depth, that spiritual aspect that we don't grasp hold of sometimes, that we don't give enough unction to, that we don't look at and say, there's a spirit realm that we live in, and it comes with power. It comes with purpose. It's not arbitrary. God is in the business of drawing in sons and daughters and reaching out and saying, I love you. And that bridge can look like sometimes it's the enemy, it's what's going on. And yet, meanwhile, our hearts are served to God and we do what we can in obedience. Obedience to the Word of God. Maybe I'll try and get to this. Paul, in writing to the Philippians. No, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Yet. Something else is bugging me. Illustration of how it functions, I guess. Acts 16. Paul is, Luke is writing about Paul and what's going on. Paul also came to Derbe, Lystra, and disciples were named, and a disciple was there named Timothy, and the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him. He took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts. Would seem religious, would it not? Would seem like, what's going on there? That seems a little bit like, we're free. I don't have to do that thing. But it would seem like, what kind of bridge is that you built there? What have you done? Like, what are you thinking when you do this, right? But it was about the battle that he was fighting. It was about how we live our lives, how we function. We could label that today, we'd call it religious or say, you know, it's whatever, and turn our backs on it. Yet Paul saw it as a need to build into the call of the war that we're at. We're at war for people's souls, their lives. Not about us. Not about us. Put that aside. Put that aside. Oh, we'll get to that. Oh, we're going to get to that. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon them by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem for the sake of... Oh, no, we're doing okay. I haven't gone over yet. So the churches were being strengthened in faith and were increasing. That's 16:5. Increasing in number daily. They passed through Phrygia and Galatia region, which is kind of scooting north of where Ephesus would be, cutting up into the north of Asia Minor. Well, I guess it's all kind of Asia Minor, but the northern portion. And then it says, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia. Hang on, we were called to go and spread the gospel in all the world. Shouldn't we make our own decisions where that's going to happen? And yet the Holy Spirit comes along and forbids it. That's pretty strong language. I think we lose sight of some of this stuff. We have this in our mind that it has to look a certain way or it's going to be a certain thing. And yet we need to be sensitive to this Spirit and be obedient to the things that the Spirit is telling us. Because He has purpose and plan. And that Spirit is in person here to communicate to us. They were forbidden. I think of Jesus was, now my life group, shout out to the life group, okay, whatever the life group is. Shout out to the life group, they like that. They do. Keeps them coming. No, we were talking about how Jesus was led, and in Mark it says impelled in my version here, but in King James it says driven of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Of the devil. I want you to think about that for a second. The Spirit of God drives Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted. No, it can't happen. No. He was driven in there to cast the devil out. The Spirit drove him to be tempted. Not that he was... It was about the temptation. It was about the purposes of God. So that in Christ we could see that he was not tempted to satisfy his own flesh, but he lived by God, and that it was settled once and for all. Because it says, he said, if you want to turn this rock into a food, into bread. And he said, look, every man, I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, well, cast yourself off this pinnacle. And he says, look, tempt not the Lord your God. And he says, look, bow down and worship me, because right now I possess all this stuff. I have power over this. And if you bow down, I'll give it to you. And he says, look, I will not worship anyone but God. It is written, you shall worship no one but God. And then the devil had nothing in him. Jesus said, the devil came and he had nothing in me. And yet we would scurry around and maybe battle in a different way. We have to know what the Spirit is saying to us. We have to understand that there is purpose in God, that His name is higher, it is greater, and sometimes it doesn't look quite the way we would see it. We would not believe the lie that says rob, because that's the core of the lie, is that we try to rob God. Rob God of His sovereignty in our lives. And His sovereignty is not about beating us down and oppressing us. It is about being with us. Because it says God is love, God is light, God is Spirit, God is a consuming fire. The problem that we have is that when we were in the garden, we fell. And we separated ourselves from God. We created an environment where a consuming fire would destroy us, kill us. But God in His sovereignty and His love has said, that wasn't my purpose. Let me cover you. They go on through Galatia and they're moved. Again, they wanted to go up to Bithynia. And then again, the Spirit expressly presses them over towards Macedonia, where they end up in Philippi, I believe, ultimately. I wanted to point out that here's a guy on his missionary trips, plans made, set. Now you're with this team, right? You're with this team. I want you to think about this. You're all hanging out, you're doing your thing, and you wake up, well, we're going into, let's go down to Ephesus. Nope, can't do that. No, what are we going to do? Well, let's just keep moving along a little bit. Let's go to Bithynia. Nope, they've changed our minds. We've changed what we're doing. It looks like it's going crazy. It looks like you're off track. Like, who's leading this show? And yet, they trusted and they said, okay, let's follow that. Let's follow where the Spirit's going. We have to have trust in that. We have to have trust in where we're going with the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we see that Macedonia was opened up and went down and ultimately went to Corinth and all this stuff that happened. Paul, and you read about the Corinthians and the Macedonian church and their giving and the abundance that came from that. Ultimately, Ephesus, which is down in that Asia portion where they were forbidden to go, was, actual fact, a base for a church that they lasted for about 3 years at Ephesus. It was like two plus years. That became a base. But in the timing of God, it wasn't the time. So the gospel was going to be preached. The gospel was going there. So we're talking about bridge builders of the kingdom. I just wanted to talk about how we're building, the thought, what's going on, opening our minds to understanding what's going on. I just want to recap, because we've had Mark opened up, and I think doesn't want to leave the service. Look, he's crying to stay. The I get sidetracked too easily. Mark started out with our seeing the bridge picture. Understand, we all heard these messages, and we're going to hear them, how it affects our heart, how it changes what we think. And I've heard, and it filters through the things that are affecting me. And I want you to hear what I heard from these messages. I'm not going to repeat the messages, but I want to, it started building a larger bridge picture, if you will. And it started out, and my heart said, this is a heralding message. It was a herald that was calling out of the Spirit for us to see where He is guiding in the context of His promises. And again, not to rebuild His thing, but they talked about Joshua going to the promised land, but there's receiving promises. We have promises here, and we are building into them, and we need to be able to see that. There's a heralding call to look, lift up your eyes, see, and buy into that. And there was action in that. There was purpose, but it had context of in His promises. So it's going to look different than something other things may look. The war effort was won in a different way for the people that were building the bridge and over the River Kwai. Like they some got it, some didn't, some whatever. But it was about what was a promise. Where were we going? What was the war effort we're in? Then Janine came along and preached, and I can't remember her title, but I called it "I'm a Tool." Go figure, right? but what she did get us to say, which I thought, yeah, Mark liked it. He's agreeing. Hey, I am an effective bridge builder for the kingdom. The king and His kingdom. Thank you. Sorry, I actually do have it written down. I just forgot to say that portion. The king and His kingdom. And she had us repeat it. Because we are called to be effective bridge builders for the king and His kingdom. And allow God to use you in His purpose. Well, those purposes involve other people. They involve the people around us, the people who surround us, the people who are near us. And they all work together. And we have to have confidence in them as well. And I thought, okay, so we have this bridge building together to be used in His purposes. Mike talked about the bridge builders for the lost. Well, we're building bridges. Isn't that great? No, we're building bridges so we can have a beautiful building, so we can have a really nice love feast, so we can do nice pews, nice sound system, nice drumming. Or are we building all these things for the lost? Because that's the call that we've had. We were not commissioned to build churches, buildings. We were commissioned to build the church, if you will. Not our church, but God's church. And Mike comes and says, look, let's be bridge builders for the lost. Know your rating and your capacity, I think you said. Right? You got to know what your bridge is weighted for. Like, you are that extension. You're the nearest bridge to someone, right? But if your capacity isn't for that, what are you doing there? But we are working together. There are people here that have the capacity. There are people amongst us. Or it may be done together. There is capacity within us, but don't exceed, again, in obedience to the things that we're called to. Bridge builders for the lost. So we have this purpose. So we see the bridge. We see the purposes and the promises. We become the instruments of God's hands and feet to do the work, and then we do it with the purpose for the battle that we're at war for. We're at war for people's lives, not for our comfort, not for our creature comforts. This is about people's eternal salvation. We gotta get that. Do we see that bridge? Do we see what that bridge is? And then Mark talked on grace. Oh, I've got notes that says go to the iPad. The iPad. I haven't got Hallelujah on anymore. The iPad. Sorry. Mark talked about bridges of grace. So, not to go over his message, but I'm going to read what I took from it. Mark's going to say, how did you get that out of this? But this is what it inspired in me. Okay, this is what the words that Mark, I could grab all those words again and it would still rise up in me because this is what was moving in me to come out of this. And I'd done this this great run-on sentence. It's just like huge. I should have been in ancient Greece because they had no punctuation. And I love run-on sentences. We are bridges of grace in that we are to extend the grace by the Holy Spirit who has worked in us through and by Christ towards all mankind in the context of the church, God's A plan, no other plan, of the church for the purposes of God Almighty. And his unsurpassing love towards us, his creation, his purpose, he chose us. As his plan of reconciliation with creatures of his passion, because he's passionate for you, because he is love. So let's act like it. Let's act like it. Let's get there. Let's go for this. And then Kevin comes along and says, here's how we act like it. We act in honor. We act honorably. I think of the guys building the bridge River Kwai, right? They did things with honor. I mean, you gotta appreciate the era the movie was made in, but it was like, you know, we're all honorable people, right? But I mean, really, it was still done in honor. They did things out of a noble heart towards their cause, right? They didn't, even though it looked like they were building into what would be evil for them, even though it didn't look the way some would choose it to look, they built with honor. And I thought, this bridge, I think you called it, this bridge has to be built in honor. It has to come from a place of honor. It has to be built on that. So we see that in the context of his promise, seeing the bridge, we are to fulfill his purposes by being his hands and feet because of the grace of God that has loved us and has chosen to work through the church, not just our church, the church, to extend his love of heart and compassion to us, to reconcile us back to him. And we do it in honor, with our heads held high, with a knowledge and understanding that no matter what my circumstances, no matter what my circumstances, if I'm walking in this, I'm building the kingdom. You are not lesser than, weak, defeated. You are victorious. You are powerful. You work in the realm of the Spirit that pulls down strongholds, because we don't wrestle against time and distance, flesh and blood, but principalities and rulers of darkness in high places. These are the things that are wrestled down. The manifold wisdom is revealed to those powers that be through the church. That's what Ephesians says. Confounding them. They had power. But when Christ died, he took the keys of death. Right? He took them away, and the power that had over people, it says in Hebrews, it says that people lived in fear and bondage because of the power of death. And Christ says, I got that. It's covered. It's with me. You no longer have to be bound by time and distance, world and fear. But walk and build and find yourself in these bridges. I don't know if I have time. I thought I had tons of time. Hebrews 4:1. Therefore, let us fear, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Now, I'm going to skip over to verse 11. There's a promise of remaining into his rest. That can be taken a few ways. My heart in that is that we are here in this time and distance world with purpose. And our rest will be eternal, ultimately. But we can slip away from that if we let it fade from us. So in verse 11 of the same chapter 4, Hebrews, therefore let us be diligent to enter into that rest through obedience. And we talked about the temptations that Christ faced, but we saw that in the garden, faced with the same temptations, when Eve said, look, you know, here's the you know, like, tree of life, of the knowledge of good and evil. And she brought religion into the matter. She was tempted. It looks good for food. I'm going to satisfy my needs. It's delight to the eyes. Makes me feel good about myself. desires to make one wise. I'm going to take that on. And what was captivated in her heart was the lie that the devil said God's oppressing you and he didn't want you in full freedom. But she didn't walk in obedience. And she goes to Adam, who should have known better, who was told about this. Who passed it on? And Adam fell. And then lied. And lie came after lie. Sin came. We lied to God. I wonder, you know, I often muse about stuff like this. I wonder if he'd said, look, have mercy on us, God. I blew it. I'm sorry, I didn't do enough to cover my wife. I abandoned her. It's the woman you gave me. The lie enters in. And we go down shady things in sin. So what's the first thing God does? Is build a bridge for us. Kills and covers us. Because he's a consuming fire. Sin and God cannot dwell together. So he covers us. Incredible. But Christ didn't follow that. He was obedient to the word. So therefore let us be diligent to enter into that rest in our obedience so that no one will fall through the following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active. What God speaks into our hearts, what he talks to us about, is living and active. I'm not going to go into all of that, but God is speaking to us. God has chosen to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. He has touched our lives. He's changed us. When we walk in the things that he's doing and we understand the purposes of our calling, it is about a war for people's lives, for their souls, for eternity. We have to keep focused and see that that is the battle we're in because it's not us any longer. That word, we need to pull it in. It says, let us hold fast in verse 14, our confession. It's out of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart. We were singing that whole heart aspect. When we see God as good, our hearts just proclaim. It comes out of us. There's life. We can't help but say that, but we have to grab hold of that goodness that he's doing. And in verse 16, let us draw near with the confidence. And that's really what I would say the bridge that we have to talk about is, let us draw near. That is where I would say my heart was for this message. I really didn't know what to say. I know we wanted titles. Draw near. Okay. I've lost my title guy. It's okay. But that's fine. Let us draw near. And I saw the heralding call that Mark had preached about, see the bridge. But it's not enough to see the bridge. We have to draw near to the bridge. If we're not drawing near to the bridge, hey, there's a bridge over there. It's not for me. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to do things. You know, like, it's good. I go. It's topical. I see the bridge. But there it says, if we're missing the point, there's a potential falling away. We start to cloud over our hearts, having our hearts darkened. The shadow comes over us, and ultimately we will fall away. So let us draw near. So we see in the garden, we see the fall. God covers, builds a bridge. So you've got God and man communicating before the fall. No bridge needed. There's a fall. He covers, leaves. This is really synopsizing the Bible. Okay. Then we see God throwing ropes, if you will. Rope bridges. He's throwing these pre-bridges across, right? He's got these rope bridges. But we keep breaking that because of the hardness of our heart, because we don't see the purposes of his plan. That it's about salvation of souls and reconciliation of man to God. Not about our time and distance existence. So we take those rules and we throw them on these rope bridges that can't bear it. Like the Mosaic Law. And our flesh brings them crashing down. So then God says to Jesus Christ, I'm going to send you because I love them. Christ says, I'm going to empty myself. So in Philippians we see, and I will say this about the book of Philippians. It's a missionary letter to the Philippian church that was in Macedonia at the time. It was a fairly affluent, so I don't know the connection between what Mark read and what the Philippian church was like, but it was a very affluent gold town, and that's where all the Roman soldiers used to retire and everything. So they may have had resources, may not. I'm not 100% sure how that goes. But he's writing this letter to them saying, gee, thanks for the cash, guys. I'm in prison in Rome, or they believe in Rome. There's debate about that too. Wherever he was, he had a Praetorian guard over him. And he's saying, look, you know, the gospel's being preached, dude. I'm incarcerated because, hey, the gospel can't happen when I'm in jail. And he says, no, it's being furthered. The gospel's going out. I got the Praetorian guard going here, right? I got Romans. And that was one of the things about Philippi. That was one of the places where you were a Roman citizen of equal to being in Rome. It was, had like the special seal of whatever it was, something Italicus, I don't know. Is this Italicus? I don't remember. Anyway. So he comes in and Paul's going to write in this from his position. He's going to write one of the greatest revelations of the mind of Christ in the midst of this. Thank you for doing what you were called to do, and you believed in your heart and you fulfilled it by giving of your finances that caught up with me to help me in our cause to build the kingdom, that souls would be saved, and souls are being saved. So he's saying, souls are being saved at your money that you've sent to me. And he says, in the midst of this, about giving of self, of participating in kingdom bridge building, in seeing the bridge, drawing near the bridge, and building bridges to people, he says, have this mind that was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but being equal with God, thought it not robbery to steal from God, to take on that idea. He said, but he emptied himself. He stopped thinking about himself. He was thinking about God's purposes. And became a servant. And as a servant, in the form of a servant, he humbled himself. That is, he came in flesh and blood. So that's where we've got to. God and man's over here. They're happy in the garden. There's a fall. God builds a little bridge, covers them. Then he throws ropes across. We've got the law. We've got that all going on. We got Christ and man. God in the flesh comes, who emptied himself so God in the flesh could come and have this mind, that I am serving in obedience to the purposes of God, the things that he's called me, that it is about salvation. Because Jesus said, it's my purpose. He's having great meetings, okay? This is Jesus' first meeting. He's up in Galatia, and he's just started out, and people are coming from all over. They're coming from Jerusalem. I think Syria was, they were coming from all over the place. It wasn't hidden. This is like before he ever went down to Perea or back down to Jerusalem and all this, but it's all happening pretty much straight away. People just rushing in to see him. And he says to his disciples, you would think, hey, let's set up camp here. We got them all coming to us. He says, no. You know what? That's great. Those people are coming, but my purpose is to preach the gospel. Let's go to the next town, because that's my purpose for coming. Not setting up a successful business, setting up a successful ministry. But he said, let's move on to the next town, because my purpose is to come and preach the gospel. So we see this humble himself, being informed of God, came in the purpose, is obedient to God's word. In this missionary letter about giving and saying, look, you're participating. This is the heart that God's calling to us, to participate, to build into the things that we don't see, that spiritual realm, that when we put in our 2 nickels, or we put in our 10 minutes, or when we do the good thing, that is building into something greater, a kingdom that has a future, that souls are being saved, and we have to believe in that. And he says, so I've taken this mind, emptied myself, and then he humbled himself and died on the cross. And Paul actually writes to the Philippians there, he says, look, you know what? It's great that I have this money, but if I have abundance, I've learned to live in that. If I don't have anything, if I'm in poverty, if I'm in trouble, you know, I've learned that it doesn't matter. So whatever state I'm in, doesn't matter. He's not talking about, you know, I feel good about myself or not. He's saying, my mind is fixed on the things of being obedient to the word that God has spoken into me to do, and I will do them in the faith that God has put in my heart. He's writing and saying, whatever state I'm in, I'm able to do all things through Christ in those states. He's not talking about doing stuff. He's saying in those circumstances, all circumstances, I'm able to do the calling that I have on my life. Because his name is greater. It's above this. God is good. He is above this. So whether I live in abundance or in poverty, it doesn't matter. The message is, I've been commissioned as the church to go and preach the gospel together with a whole bunch of people who are bridges, but we're working together. because of the grace of God and his love for us and his desire for reconciliation. So we draw near. So Christ dies. I'll bring this to a land. Sorry, I thought I'd have more time in my thinking. I got way more, but that's just not important because I feel where this was going today. Christ dies. God is love, God is light, God is spirit, God is a consuming fire. Christ is made sin. Not that he sinned, but he was made sin. It was imputed on him. God is love, God is spirit, God is light, God is consuming fire. It's appointed once man to die, and then the judgment. The judgment comes and burns away that what was sin. And yet Christ stood because he did not sin. Because the grace says, according to the spirit of holiness, God raised Christ up. Because his purpose wasn't about bashing us. God's purpose from the beginning was reconciliation. He didn't slay us and say, okay, let's start again. He covered us instantly in the garden. Threw ropes over. Threw himself, his son in. Does it sound like a proverb? Parable that was Jesus talked about? He died and there was no sin. There was nothing found. And that consuming fire left what was raised according to the spirit of holiness because the heart of God. And then Christ said, if I go to be the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit bridge across. And we are connected. Connected to the throne room of God because we have God and Jesus Christ seated together in heavenly places. And the bridge of the Holy Spirit comes along and connects to his people because he built the bridges from the beginning because his desire was that he loved us from the beginning and he desired us. We are made for his pleasure. We are and were made for his pleasure. And he throws that bridge across to connect with us that we might know what his purposes are, to know what we ought to do, to walk in the things that we need to walk. And we need to draw near to that. He says, I will pour out all flesh. But we can turn our eyes, we can turn our backs on that. Or we can listen to the call of the Spirit that says, I am still about lost souls and people who will never be reconciled to me. Go out and reach them. Touch their lives. This bridge comes across and touches us. Through selfish ambition and I'm trying to think of the quote in James. Can't think of it anyway. It's two aspects to it. We can follow wisdom that takes us into Thank you. Vain conceit and selfish ambition. We can connect to a wisdom that is not of this world, that is earthly, temporal, time and distance, that is not spiritual. Remember, we're dealing in a four-dimensional world as Christians. We are connected to the Spirit of God that brings life and understanding. It brings us the wisdom. We can connect it. We see the bridge, the Holy Spirit bridge, and we draw near to it because it's connected to the throne room where God and Christ sit with the same purpose that they had from the beginning, that we would be together. It says one day we'll be like him, but we live in this time and distance world. Or we choose vain ambition and selfish. You got it. Not going down that road again. And it leads us into an earthly time and distance world where we no longer see that dimension of the spirituality that brings life and hope. And we cut ourselves off. And it's not spiritual. And it says, and it's demonic. Because that realm still has power over us because we've allowed our hearts open to it. The devil goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not saying, I choose to devour you. He seeks. But when we bring in that attitude that we miss the obedience to the call that we're doing, we miss the bridge that has been cast across for us now. And that's the bridge that we need to grasp hold of and hold on to. Lift your eyes up. See the purposes of God. This is beyond us. We walk in a power beyond our comprehension. I can tell you that because we cannot understand what God is fully. We talked about in the life group, infinity. How can you understand infinity if you're not infinity? How can I begin to comprehend what infinity is if I know I can't be infinite? And yet we have this power that we are connected to as we see the bridge and we draw near to it for the purposes of God. And we have to believe in our hearts that is what God's doing. So every nickel we throw in, everything we do in obedience, everything that we press in towards, every moment we spend doing the things of God have power beyond our comprehension, even though it looks like a bridge we're building for the enemy sometimes. And yet the war we fight is the war of salvation for souls. I'm going to close it down. Yeah, I have to. So, hopefully that's been somewhat helpful to you to comprehend what we're looking at, where we're going, the power we have and the ability we have to be with the Holy Spirit, to understand what the bridge is that we have and its purpose. I'm just going to pray. Just going to pray. After all that, just going to pray. Yeah, we're talking about power beyond my comprehension. God, forgive me for my ignorance and my arrogance, that I would doubt your word. Lord, we come to you today, in this day. We say that you have inspired us. You have moved us by your Spirit to say we walk in a new day. And we acknowledge your power in this, that it is your new day. And it is released. We come, we give ourselves again afresh for the purposes that our eyes would be open, that you would reveal to us wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ would come to us, that we would walk according to your grace, that we would see your picture, that we would see ourselves, no matter what state we are, that you are our good God, that you are higher than, that your purposes are greater than, but that our power in us is by you alone to do what you have called us to do, that there is life for salvation. Lord, we pray for souls. We pray for every opportunity to see the souls that you would have us speak to, that we would boldness, maybe not confidence, or self-assurance, Lord, but with boldness, knowing that you are more powerful and you are a good God, be able to speak the words of life and liberty, that salvation would come, souls would be saved. We thank you for this new day. We bless your name. We pray to be a blessing. We thank you for this every opportunity in Christ. Amen. Amen.